When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Scott Chu.
Yo, everybody, welcome to the First Pitch Podcast. My name, of course, is Scott Chu. You can find me on Twitter at IfTheChuFits. Let's get right to it with injuries and transactions. If you haven't heard already, Mike Trout is targeting a return Friday in Detroit, so you can start firing him back up in your lineups as long as he doesn't have a setback. Max Fried and Luis Patino have been activated by their respective clubs, the Braves and the Rays, to make starts today. So those are guys you can think about, but you want to watch out because they are just off the IL. More on Patino a little bit later. Tyler Mahle, who the Twins acquired at the deadline, is undergoing a precautionary MRI after leaving his start early with shoulder fatigue. Not great, but hopefully it's not too serious. Taijuan Walker had an MRI in his back, and while it came back clean, his status for Sunday is still questionable. So if you're counting on him on that Sunday start, get ready to have a backup plan in mind. Nathan Eovaldi has also been scratched from today's start with neck and shoulder soreness. More on his replacement at the end of this podcast. Elvis Andrus was released by the A's to make room for the return of Sheldon Noisy, who was hot earlier this year, though probably isn't a priority add in most leagues. Clay Holmes also hit the IL yesterday, likely putting Aroldis Chapman in line for saves for the Yankees, not that they've had a lot of opportunities of late. Speaking of Yankees, Giancarlo Stanton should be starting a rehab assignment sometime this weekend, and he could return sometime towards the end of next week. Bryce Harper will hopefully be able to start a rehab assignment next Tuesday, and that gives him a chance to return before September. I realize they're both probably going to be starting rehab times at the same time between Harper and Stanton, but Harper having been gone so long, he'll need a longer rehab assignment. So I'm right now hoping that he's here before September, and it might even be a little bit earlier than I anticipated. The high-hitting Luis Rengifo was removed from Wednesday's game with back tightness. We'll keep an eye on that. He has been very hot in the month of August. Brandon Marsh is day-to-day with a bone bruise in his knee and a sprained ankle. Even if he's able to play, that's probably going to really hamper his stolen base ability, making him really tough to roster in most formats. Lurie Garcia is added to the long list of injured White Sox as he hits the IL with a lower back strain. Speaking of those White Sox, Luis Robert is also dealing with wrist soreness, and he received an injection to help combat the issue. Consider him day-to-day for now. Joey Votto, unfortunately, is going to have season-ending surgery for his rotator cuff. It's a big blow to the Reds in terms of leadership and a guy who's just really fun to watch play baseball even when he's not hitting. Eduardo Escobar of the Mets, he also hit the IL with an oblique strain. He can probably be dropped in most formats, but it does provide an interesting opportunity for Brett Batty, who was recently called up and who I'll mention again a little later on. Good news and bad news in Tigers land, you know that's my home team. The good news is that Eduardo Rodriguez will be activated by the team to start against the Angels on Sunday. He's been real good in the minors, though that start now looks a little bit rougher than it did before with the return of Mike Trout, potentially. And slightly less good news, but not as bad news as it could have been, Tarek Skubal underwent successful flexor tendon surgery. That surgery usually has about a 6 to 9 month recovery time, so we shouldn't expect Skubal back at the start of 2023, though he should return sometime in the first half. While there's always a chance for a setback, this injury, that flexor tendon issue that Skubal has, takes less time to return from than Tommy John, though it is worth noting that former Tiger Matthew Boyd had the same issue at the end of last season and has still not returned. And then finally, in terms of bad news for the Tigers, Austin Meadows was pulled from his rehab assignment and is being reevaluated, and yet another setback for the left-handed outfielder that was traded at the beginning of the season for Isak Paredes. Really just has been a rough year for Austin Meadows, a lost year, quite frankly, and hopefully we can see something like the player we saw in years past in 2023. As far as hitting performances from yesterday, Sean Murphy of the Oakland A's, he went 3 for 5 with a double, 2 home runs, 3 runs scored, and 3 RBI. And while the 3 doubles and 4 home runs this month should be more than enough to impress me, Murphy went above and beyond. He's posted a 10.3% walk rate and just a 15.5% strikeout rate as well. The improvement in Murphy's plate discipline has turned him from a batting average sinkhole, he hit 216 last season, to an actual contributor. And as far as catchers are concerned, Sean Murphy currently has a .251 batting average on the season, and it's been much better of late. Shohei Ohtani went 4-for-5 with a triple, a home run, 2 runs scored, and 4 RBI. Ohtani's really turned it on over the last 9 games. He now has 2 triples and 3 home runs in that stretch with a .254 WRC plus. Shohei Ohtani, the dual player, remains my top player in daily leagues, and I don't see that changing for a very long time. It's really hard to understate the value he has as both a pitcher and a hitter. Cal Raleigh, catcher for the Seattle Mariners, went 2-for-4 with 2 home runs and 3 RBIs. 4 home runs this month highlight Raleigh's power, and he especially has that upside as a streamer, though he isn't much more than that as he really does have contact issues, which come up all the time. Starling Marte of the Mets, he went 3-for-5 with 2 home runs, and while Marte's disappointed on the speed side with just 15 stolen bases so far this season after stealing 47 in 2021, these 2 home runs give Starling Marte 14 on the season. That's 2 more than he had last year, so at least you're getting some of the power back, even if the speed isn't close to what he did last year, especially when he was with the A's. Jesse Winker of the Mariners, he went 1-for-3 with a home run, 2 runs scored, 2 RBI, and 2 walks. That's 5 home runs in Winker's last 13 games to go along with a .407 OBP, which is exactly the Winker we'd hoped he'd be at the start of the season. It's a bit late to salvage his season stat line overall, but Winker should be on your radar right now for power and OBP going forward. Alex Verdugo of the Boston Red Sox was a slow start to the season, but he went 3-for-3 last night with a double, 3 runs scored, an RBI, and 2 walks. And while Verdugo only has a single solitary home run in the second half, he's peppered 11 doubles, with 6 of them coming in his last 8 games. Brian Reynolds of the Pirates, he went 2-for-4 with a home run, 2 runs scored, and 2 RBI. Reynolds now has 3 homers to go with 2 steals and a .309, .424, .527 triple slash in August. Everything's really finally clicking for the Pirates outfielder. Francisco Lindor continued his absolutely amazing season after it was so bumpy to start out. He went 2-for-5 with a home run, 2 runs scored, and a stolen base. It was the only combo meal of the day, and Lindor has officially surpassed his season totals from 2021 in runs, home runs, RBI, and stolen bases. He's been an absolutely elite player this season, and Lindor could end the year with close to 30 home runs, 15 steals, and plus ratios across the board. J.D. Davis of the Giants, formerly a Met, he went 2-for-3 with a home run and a walk. This is Davis's second two-hit game this week, and if you're looking for a power streamer, just know that the Giants head to Colorado for the weekend, so really fire them up. Vaughn Grissom of Atlanta, he went 2-for-4 with 2 runs scored, 3 RBI, and a stolen base. His pace to open the season is absolutely insane, and while I think he has a very bright future, we need to remember that it's only been 32 plate appearances, and there's still adjustments that need to happen, so we'll really be watching that closely as we go forward, especially watch the strikeout rate, which he's done a lot better with the last 2 or 3 games. Brett Batty, who I mentioned earlier, of the Mets, he went 1-for-4 with a home run and 2 RBI. It was a nice debut for the heralded young corner infielder, who should see an uptick in playing time with Eduardo Escobar hitting the IL. I think he's worth an add in 12-teamers if you need a third baseman, and he's definitely someone you should be watching as he is a highly regarded prospect and has plenty of power that he can offer at the third base position. Max Muncy went 1-for-4 with yet another home run in 53 August plate appearances. Muncy's hitting .340 with a .415 OBP and .830 slug, thanks to already having 6 home runs on the month. Muncy's been frustrating, sure, but we've always known Muncy has this kind of explosive potential, and it's happening at just the right time for anyone that was able to scoop him up. He is absolutely crushing the ball right now, and he could keep it up for quite a while. And then I just have to throw him in. My guy, Akil Baddoo, he went 1-for-4 with a run and a stolen base. Baddoo now has 2 steals in his last 6 games with a .389 batting average and .450 OBP. He hasn't hit any extra base hits in that time, and he's not really fantasy relevant outside of streaming for steals, but just let me have this. I'm really excited that Akil Baddoo is doing something, and hopefully we can see more growth as the season progresses so that he can take this lost season and turn it into something much better in 2023. Starting pitching performances from yesterday, I'll start with Tony Gonsolin of the Dodgers. He went against the Brewers, who have really struggled in August, and he went 7 innings pitched to get the win, 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. Everything was going right for Gonsolin in this one. As the line suggests, Gonsolin had all 3 breakers working with his slider, curve, and splitter, plus he had the fastball velocity coming at a cool 94 miles an hour. Everything is firing on all cylinders for Gonsolin. Nick Lodolo of the Reds, he went against the Phillies. He gets a no decision. He goes 7 innings pitch, no earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. Lodolo changed up his approach in this one, mostly sinkers and curveballs, with the curve getting whiffs and the sinker getting a heap of called strikes. There's some question over how repeatable this is, but it's a big step in the right direction for Lodolo. Ranger Suarez, on the other side, he had a nice start as well. He got a no decision, but he went 7 innings pitch with no earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. And really what we saw here was that the changeup was very well located, helping him navigate the dangers of Great American Ballpark. Suarez will take on the same Reds in his next start, and Lodolo will see the same Phillies, but this time it'll be in Philly, and so Suarez is a definite starter for that one. Lodolo as well could be a very good start in that. Ross Stripling came back from the IL for the Blue Jays. He went against the Orioles. It's a no decision. That's not his fault, though. He went 6.1 innings pitched, no earned runs, just 1 hit, no walks, 7 strikeouts. Absolutely masterful. Only needed 72 pitches for Stripling to get through those 6.1 innings. Stripling gets the Red Sox offense next, and Boston's had a real rough go of it lately, ranking as the 7th worst offense by WRC Plus in August. So I'll be more than happy to fire up Stripling for that game. Hopefully he can go closer to 85 to 90 pitching. Carlos Rodon of the Giants, he took down the Arizona Diamondbacks when 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 2 walks, 11 strikeouts. That was 18 whiffs on 106 pitches. The velocity was actually down to start this game, but it ramped up as it went on, and he ended up closer to his normal. And quite frankly, it was more than enough heat for Rodon to take down these lowly Diamondbacks, something I'll be watching for maybe a little, but I'm not overly concerned about it right now. Jordan Montgomery, the Bear, now of the St. Louis Cardinals, went against the Road Rockies. He got the win on 5.2 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 6 hits, no walks, 8 strikeouts. It's weird that Montgomery had to leave New York to get wins, but here we are. The fastball command for Montgomery was spot on, and he should keep rolling his next outing, which will be against the Cubs. Corey Kluber, speaking of the Yankees, of the Rays, he took down the New York Yankees on a note. It was a no decision, but he went 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. Wasn't enough for the Rays to win this game, but he did only need 90 pitches to do it, and 39% CSW for Kluber, though it might be more of an indication of the current state of the Yankees hitting. But Kluber did what he needed to do, commanded his pitches more than well enough to take advantage. He's someone that, when that command is on, is really tough to hit against. So something very positive there. A couple more starts just to call them out. Framber Valdez of the Astros, he went against the White Sox. He got a win on 7 innings pitch, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. Not a great whip, obviously, with 10 base runners in 7 innings, but it's more than good enough, and you got plenty of strikeouts and the win to go with it. Eric Lauer was against Gonsolin, so he obviously didn't get the win. He actually got the loss, but again, not his fault. He went 7 innings pitch, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts. So real nice start for Lauer. And then Ronzi Contreras made a return to the rotation. Not a great one, though. He went against the Red Sox. He got the loss on 6 innings pitch, 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 4 walks, and just 3 strikeouts. But on the bright side, Ronzi Contreras' slider was filthy. The only problem is he had no command of anything else, and he's going to be too hard to trust right now in any format until he shows some kind of command going forward. In the relief pitching performances, Roman Wick bounced back from his blown save on Tuesday with a 14-pitch save Wednesday night and should have a very firm grip on the closer's role in Chicagoland, though a little bit more about who might be closing games today for the Cubs a little later on. And then Mark Melancon is still a thing, as seen by his 9-pitch save last night. I don't like any of the Diamondback closers enough to roster in a 10 or 12-team league, though. Mark Melancon's just one of them. And now, before we look at the day ahead, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for sticking around. Let's start the preview of today with the weather. Mark, take it away.
Thank you very much. Well, as is typical on Thursdays, don't have a full schedule, but has been pretty typical for much of the summer, we have no weather issues today. So even though it's short slate, please feel free to play whoever you have, as I don't think there will be any delays or postponements. Have a good one, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it as always. As far as starting pitching options for today, there's not a lot of good streaming options, folks, but there's two that I did try to call out. Number one, Josh Winkowski is filling in for Nathan Eovaldi as he is missing this start with the neck and shoulder issues, and it's against the Pirates, which is as good a time as any to get a cheap win, despite the fact that the Boston offense has struggled. And then Luis Patino is likely to only go about five innings or so for the Rays, but he's due for more strikeouts in the big leagues after his rocky debut in July, and the Royals could very well be the way Patino balances that ledger. I do think he can put up some strikeouts and potentially even get a win as long as he makes it through those five innings. As far as relief pitchers who might vulture a save, Evan Phillips of the Dodgers should be in line for a save in the early game, with Craig Kimbrell having thrown over 20 pitches on back-to-back nights. And then both Aroldis Chapman and Scott Efros threw over 20 pitches last night. So if the Yankees choose to be conservative, they would likely turn to Jonathan Loaisiga for a save, though with how badly they've played lately, they might choose to be more aggressive and throw potentially Chapman or Efros back out there. And again, with Wick pitching on back-to-back nights for a total of 38 pitches, look for either Brandon Hughes, who's been a bit rough lately with two blown saves, or Michael Rucker, who doesn't have blown saves, to get the ball in the ninth if there's a save on the line. I think if I'm speculating, I'll go with Rucker just because he's pitched better lately, but either one could potentially get the save. And then on the hitting side, Luis Garcia, the pitcher for the Astros, has struggled of late, making a few White Sox look like really strong options. The one I'd call out the most is AJ Pollock, as he's likely to lead off and has hit really well in August. He just made a nice jump on the hitter list, if you were able to check that out on Wednesday. And then the Cubs aren't a great offense, but Spencer Watkins has given up at least three runs in three of his last four starts, making guys like Nick Madrigal, Franmil Reyes, and Nico Horner attractive streaming options for today. And then fire up your Padres against Anibal Sanchez, who's allowed at least three earned runs in all six of his starts and multiple home runs in four of those six. Really any Padre that you can find that's hitting, for example, maybe Ha-Seong Kim, who hit really well yesterday and has been on a little bit of a roll, could be someone that could really just rack up hits. But any part of that lineup, I think, is going to be profitable in terms of a fantasy perspective. And with that, thank you so much for listening, folks. We really enjoy talking to you on the First Pitch Podcast. If you have any suggestions, advice, or anything you want to hear more about on this podcast, please let us know. We're more than happy to make adjustments if that's something that you want to hear about, especially as we get close to the fantasy playoffs. So again, please feel free to reach out. My name is Scott Chu. You can find me on Twitter at If The Chu Fits. Otherwise, have a great rest of your day. Keep enjoying fantasy baseball, and we'll talk to you next time.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.